Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to all of you, my listeners. The company is Ridgeline Minerals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol RDG and on the OTCQB under the symbol RDGMF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Chad Peters. Now, this is just the introduction interview, so I do want to bring everybody up to speed on what the company is focused on in terms of their properties and jurisdiction. The company holds four properties in Nevada. I will be posting an image from the company's presentation below this interview so you can get an understanding of where these projects are, especially in location to other well-known deposits and even mines. Now, Chad, the company is, I guess, early on focused on silver a bit more at this Salina project. So the Salina project, that's in the southeastern part of this map that I will be posting. This is a silver deposit with a little bit of gold in it. Let's start off with the Salina project. Please give us a broad update here.
No, sounds good. Well, thanks for having me. We're not I wouldn't say that we identify as a silver company, but we did find a silver deposit by the looks of it at Salina. So that's been a major focus of our energy in 2020 for sure. It's shallow, it's oxide, it's located, only 10 kilometers away from the currently producing Bald Mountain mine that's owned by Kinross. So it's in a known mining area. It's a historic district in its own right that kind of got forgotten about for the last 20 years. The largest landowner in the area would be McEwen Mining. So we came into that project. We had a lot of great high-grade gold and silver rock chips at surface. First step was we trenched it in the spring during the start of the COVID outbreak. We pretty much just towed our campers out there and camped out at the site for a month while we were doing all that work. But we trenched some incredibly solid intercepts, including 50 meters of 0.6 gold and 15 grams silver. We followed that up with another trench downstrike of that fault, hitting 38 meters of 0.75 gold and 49 grams silver. And so we did ended up doing 22 drill holes in three different phases. We expanded that discovery from its outcropping at surface. It now extends for a kilometer to the west. We've almost got a kilometer of strike to the south of that as well. It's showing really, really impressive continuity. So the thing that we noticed as we continued to drill was the silver grades kept on getting higher it's about 100-to-1 silver to gold ratio. So we decided to focus on it for what it was, which is a silver dominant system, and it's looking pretty exciting.
So what about past work on this project? From my understanding, there have been other companies here exploring, maybe not in a full-on exploration sense, but there are some past holes and other data that you're working off. How is this leading to the exploration goals?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. So it was explored pretty heavily in the 1980s in a different area of the project. So, we've now got it to 35 square kilometers. So it's a district in its own right. A group called Coratamex was doing a bunch of drilling to the north of our what we call our discovery zone. And they weren't looking for gold. They weren't looking for silver, right? They were looking for gold. So, if you're drilling this thing and you're getting consistent 30, 40 meter intercepts at 0.2 grams gold, that's not going to cut it back in the 1980s, right? So they walked away. The difference is that there's also a heavy silver component there, and you start looking at it as a silver and gold system, and suddenly, you're looking at, we're drilling on average anywhere from 50 to 90 grams per ton silver equivalent at a ratio of 76. That's anywhere from 0.7 to a gram, over a gram per ton. Gold equivalent that we've been drilling out there. So I think other companies, Placer Dome was there for a while, did some prospecting, etc. Groups just weren't looking at it as a silver play, and so they kind of missed the bigger picture there with the continuity of the mineralization. So that's where I think we've come in and kind of turned it on its head a bit.
All right, just a quick comment regarding the grades. These grades, yeah, fine. They're not this high-grade vein hits that you see down in Mexico. But remember, you are in Nevada here, and this is an oxide target. So can you give us just a little bit more insights into how grade relates to mineable grades when it comes to silver in Nevada?
I'm glad you mentioned that, yeah, because it's been one of, I'd say, maybe the challenges with this new discovery is getting people to understand that these are very significant grades in Nevada. And the closest comparison would be the Rochester mine. It's the largest silver mine, primary silver open pit in Nevada. And the average grades there, it's a big deposit. It's like 200 million ounces of silver. So we obviously got to show a lot of growth potential to start getting into that range. But they mine at 14 grams per ton silver and 0.1 grams per ton gold is the average head grade of that mine. So what we're drilling is a significant multiple on that. And so we're you know, it shows we've certainly got the grade. I think now you need to show that we need to show the scale, right? We need to show that this thing can grow. But you can mine for incredibly low grades in Nevada compared to other jurisdictions. And the fact that we're outcropping at surface means that it's very favorable for that type of mining scenario.
Okay, so just give us a summary then of the work program that is planned for the Salina project this year, please.
Yeah, we're going to drill probably 15 holes this spring as soon as the snow's off. We do get snow here in the higher elevations in Nevada. So, we'll probably get out there in April, drill 15 holes. It's going to be a mix of core and RC with a major focus on showing both scale and continuity. So we want to show that this thing can grow, add significant tonnage while at the same time, start to show that there's some high grade cores to this thing. We drilled hole seven, drilled 10.5 meters of 250 grams per ton silver equivalent, with 3 meters of 828 grams per ton silver equivalent. So, there is some high grade sections. We'd love to, put some drill holes in there and try to show that that can grow too.
Okay. Yeah. And that whole continuity, that is key to keep an eye on. But hey, we'll see what that drill program yields. We're going to go down to the next project, Bell Creek. I am following along with how the presentation presents each of these projects, and I will be posting a link to the presentation. So worthwhile to at least follow along in the presentation as we move through these different projects. Bell Creek, what updates, what insights can you give us here?
You bet. Bell Creek is kind of interesting, right? It's 5 square kilometers. It's just it's a very small land package, but it's right beside the Goldstrike, Meikle, and Wren ore bodies that are owned by Nevada Gold Mines. We were able to pick up the mineral rights to that in early 2020. We originally considered it as part of the Carlin East package because they were both in the same general area. But, Barrick started drilling, Nevada Gold Mines recently started drilling the sinkhole breccia target, which is 250 meters off the edge of our property. We're waiting to hear potential assays coming out of that. They're drilling what we think is they're trying to find the extensions of the Wren deposit, which is an undeveloped couple million ounce underground, high grade underground deposit that they're looking to put in production. So it's kind of a bit of a lottery ticket, right? If Barrick is, if they drill a high grade intercept 200 meters off the edge of our property, that's a huge development for us. So we'll be waiting for their quarterly results, which are expected in February. We hope that they'll release news out of that drilling program, and then we'll advance the project accordingly.
Okay, now Bell Creek, it is in a way attached, not fully attached, but you guys are combining it with that Carlin East property as well. Bell Creek, yes, it is smaller, Carlin East. This is also a generally smaller land package, but it is much bigger than the Bell Creek package. How do these two play off of each other?
Well, Carlin East, 35 square kilometers in the Carlin Trend is a pretty large package for Nevada. I mean, and you go to Canada, you get significantly larger land tracts, but down here, that's a pretty good chunk of ground. And the difference is Bell Creek is focused on the mineralization that's adjacent to the Wren, Meikle, and Goldstrike ore bodies, whereas our Carlin East package is directly on the same fault zone that mineralizes the Leeville deposit, which is a 15 million ounce underground mine that's owned by Nevada Gold Mines. So they've now made a discovery. They've been drilling between the edge of the Leeville deposit and our project 3 kilometers to the north, and they made a new discovery called Leeville North. And that is a kilometer north of their existing resource, and they hit 21 meters of 35 grams per ton gold. So that was pretty exciting for us. They've even put out cross sections of what that looks like, which is a perfect target analog for what we want to do at Carlin East. So we want to go in there this year, drill probably an initial 3 holes across that same fault zone on our side of the project, and hopefully we can show some excitement out of that.
Now, the overall strategy at these projects, I understand that Bell Creek, okay, just waiting to see what your neighbor does, and Carlin East, you will put some drill holes in here, but it sounds like these really are just an area play in the sense that if your neighbors start hitting stuff, you guys can show that maybe some of that mineralization carries over to your properties. I don't want to make it sound too easy, but it's the easier takeout target.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're kind of positioning Bell Creek and Carlin East as an obvious takeout target if there's any success either with their drilling or ours. And you know, we actually Carlin East was the first project, kind of the core of what we picked up as a private company. So we really like the project. It's got the right geologic setup for hosting a new discovery. So we believe that this drilling this year will actually lead to some exciting news, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, it's right beside existing operations. It's 2 kilometers from the Goldstrike milling facility. I mean, you know, obviously Nevada Gold Mines would be a perfect partner for either one of these projects.
All right, let's move on to the Swift project. This is a high-grade gold target. Give us an update on what you're planning here and any historic work.
You bet. So we picked up Swift alongside the Selena project from EMX Royalty and picked it up. It was only about, I think, around 6,000 acres. We've since doubled that with private land acquisition from a local rancher. So that was a big development. We were able to consolidate into 50 square kilometers. There's a historic mine right on the edge of the project called Elder Creek, which was a historic open pit. There's a single drill hole that was drilled to target depth, which at is, you know, below 500 meters. And that drill hole back in the 1990s hit 17 meters of 0.7 grams gold, half a gram silver. Certainly not a discovery, but it does show that there's an active gold system, you know, in these deeper rocks. And it's, you know, definitely hadn't had enough testing done. So we came in, we drilled 3 holes this year, or in 2020, apologize. And we drilled 3 holes, 2 of which hit target. The third was lost in a fault zone above the target. And we hit narrow intercepts of low-grade gold, high-grade silver, lots of the altered Wenban formation in Roberts Mountain host rocks, which are 2 key host rocks in the Cortez District, which is where Swift is hosted. So we've proven that we have the right host rocks. They're altered, they're mineralized, and we have multiple targets on the project that look pretty interesting that we're going to go in and drill test in our next program. So we really like the long-term potential at Swift, but it is an early-stage prospect. So.
How big of a program are you planning for this year to test some of these targets?
I'd love to do an initial, you know, 4 to 6 drill holes, you know, kind of thing. I never like, you know, part of our strategy as a company is we don't just, you don't want to go in our eyes and just hammer a bunch of holes into a target, right? You want to do things systematically. We do all the baseline work first, you know, all that mapping, prospecting, geophysics, to define these targets before we go put the expensive drill holes on them. So we always like to do kind of an initial, you know, the first 1 to 2 phases of drilling are always, a few holes, prove an idea, prove a concept. If we like what we see, we then get into larger and consecutively larger programs. So that'd be a good start. And if we get positive news, we'd launch a larger drilling program later in the year.
Now, how deep are these targets and how deep are you going to have to drill some of these holes?
Well, you know, the historic drill intercept started at 730 meters, so fairly deep, right? And we thought that we came in, we reinterpreted the model and the structural model, and we drilled our holes about 1 kilometer to the west on the other side of the fault zone. And we projected we'd hit lower, shallower rocks at about 400 meters, and we actually hit at 450. So significantly shallower on the other side of this major fault zone. And, you know, I'd say our average target is anywhere from 400 to 700 meters, depending on where we're drilling on the project.
All right, let's take a look at some of the other company fundamentals. Let's start with your background in the resource sector. It's the first time I'm having you on the show. Give us a little background on your history.
Sure, I've kind of been all over the place, to be honest. I'm Canadian originally. I started my career working for Ewan Downie and the Premier Gold Mines crew right when they spun out of Wolf Den Resources back in the early 2000s or mid 2000s, and so started in Red Lake, worked on every project Premier has in their portfolio. Was got to be a kind of a fly on the wall young geo on the discovery of the Hard Rock deposit, which is now I believe 8 million ounces that Equinox just acquired. So I was part of the discovery team there, which was a great experience. And I moved down to Nevada in 2012, took over running the Cove project. Our team built a really good team in Nevada, and we actually ended up making a pretty significant discovery at Cove, which turned into 1.6 million ounces of about 12 grams per ton. That's now in I-80 Gold Corp, or what is turning into I-80 Gold Corp after this Equinox acquisition that Premier just completed. So, you know, got to be the exploration manager in Nevada, helped acquire the South Arturo asset. We made the discovery at Cove. And what I really noticed was that there's a ton of potential in Nevada at the time, right? And Premier was becoming more of a development and producing company. And I wanted to kind of get back to the exploration side of things. So I approached Ewan in 2018 and said, you know, I'm going to branch off and start Ridgeline. You know, I'd love you to be a part of it. Ewan was very supportive. He was one of the earliest seed round shareholders in the company, and then we were able to kind of get things up and going, you know, with Ridgeline. And one of the focus with Ridgeline was pure exploration and discovery, right? And so what kind of sets us apart a bit is I co-founded the company with a buddy of mine that owns a drilling company. So we went in and I said, look, like, there's a million geos out there. The market's flooded with companies that, you know, say just like what I just said, right? Oh, we're discovery focused, et cetera. But, you know, how can you actually deliver that and keep your costs down? And so that's why we brought in the drilling contract. So he took a founding equity stake in the company. In return, we got a 15,000 meter drilling contract at a 60% discount to market rate. What that means for us is we get guaranteed access to drill rigs, even in a tough market. And they saw the junior space boomed, a bunch of money was raised last year. And it was really tough to get a drill rig in Nevada, but that wasn't a concern for us. So we got cheap drilling. And I think it's the whole point was, is if we can make a discovery early, we can keep our dilution down and add value per share. And you know, we think the Salina discovery is already evidence that that model's working, and we're excited to hopefully apply it to our other assets.
All right, let's talk about the share structure then. Outstanding, a little over 48 million shares on a fully diluted basis, about 58.5 million shares. Give us some insights on management's ownership and any, let's say, larger shareholders that you can highlight for us.
Yeah, for sure. It was a bit of a grind getting the company up and going, actually. You know, we started in 2018. It was still a really tough market for juniors, especially a junior saying, hey, I got these great deep exploration targets in Nevada. So I went without a salary for 14 months. My wife supported the family for that time. I told her it was going to take 3 to 6 months to get funded, and it took 14. I ended up hooking up with the EMX guys, so Dave Johnson, Dave Cole, Eric Jensen. They liked our business model, and so we ended up spinning out these assets that we now have in the portfolio. They took an equity stake in the company. They also invested personally in the seed round itself, and they went and actually introduced us to the Haywood guys. So Andy Williams and David Elliott were the lead order on our seed round financing at 12 cents. They brought in a bunch of their friends as well. My team put in, you know, I put $150,000 in to the company in the first three financings. Our two private financings and our IPO. So collectively, our management now owns 17%. I own about 8% of the company. We really believe in trying to stay aligned with our shareholders, right? Like, you know, own as much of the company as we can. It's been working for us so far.
Yeah, and I'm seeing the overall retail float about 52%. One thing to consider is that current market cap under $20 million Canadian. So, I don't know, balance that out with some of the other companies out there that have already gone on some big runs. There might be an opportunity here. In terms of cash in the bank then, what are you guys sitting with?
Yeah, we have right now we got about 3.5 million in the bank, Canadian. So enough, you know, we got such a low burn rate. You know, my CFO splits his time between Entree Resources and Ridgeline. We share an office with Entree, you know, so like our burn rate is incredibly low. So we're able to do a lot with that 3.5 million between that and our drill contract. You know, I forgot to mention, you know, some of our shareholders that we have supporting the company include guys like Paul Stevens and Andre Gaumond and Ewan Downey. And so we got a lot of really solid shareholders to go along with that retail book that as well as 12 different institutions as well that kind of help support it. So
what's the budget then for the exploration that you hope to undertake this year?
We're going to do about a $2 million US budget for the year. The rest will go into corporate as well as leaving a bit of a buffer in the bank heading into the end of the year. So, you know, 2 million gets us a pretty aggressive program at Salina, call it a soft kind of phase two, if you want to call it that, like three drill holes at Carlin East to try to prove that, new drilling or discovery concept that, Barrett came up with. And then we'll see what we want to, you know, how much cash we want to put into Swift. We love the project, but we're also being, you know, cognizant of it's a bit of a tricky market right now, and we want to make sure that we're being smart with our money.
All right. Well, Chad, we're going to wrap it up here. If anybody has any follow-up questions regarding Ridgeline, any of the properties, or the overall strategy, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get Chad to address those, and I will follow up as some more news hits the market. Chad, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Cheers.